All right, so we're on to the Final Four, and it is the craziest Final Four ever in the sense that you've got three teams that have never been there. One of them, Florida Atlantic. We are joined right now by the head coach of Florida Atlantic. He's in his fifth season there. As the 9 seed in the East, as you know, they beat the 8 seed Memphis. Then they took care of number 16, Fairleigh Dickinson. Then they smacked Tennessee in the Sweet 16. They finished Kansas State in the Elite 8 in an epic, epic battle. They advanced to the Final Four in Houston, where they will play San Diego State on Saturday night, 6 p.m. Eastern. Dusty May is my guest. Dusty, it's great to have you back. How you doing right now, Coach?
I'm doing great, Jim. It's great to be back. It means we're still alive.
You are still alive and looking really good, and it's great to have you back. Thanks for making time. Hey, listen, I know you've got some unfinished business, and it's an incredible opportunity in front of you, but I've got to ask you about the end of that game and the post-game interview. I thought that was so awesome that you would not consent to the post-game interview until you were surrounded by your entire team. Why was that so important to you?
Just because it's been such a group effort all year. We have a true collaboration amongst players and staff. And it's just a moment that we should all share together. I didn't really want to go off by myself, and I didn't want the Blazers to be off doing their thing. I wanted us to do one thing together and let the cameras be on our guys and just share the moment with them, because it's a special time for our program.
Dusty May is joining us. You know, I thought there was another amazing moment after that game when Kansas State head coach Jerome Tang came by your locker room to offer his congratulations and briefly address your team. I mean, amazing thing, right, given how gut-wrenching that loss must have been for him. What was his message to your team, and what's that say about him that he made a point to come by and congratulate your guys and pump them up?
Well, guys like Coach Tang are great for the profession. They're positive. They make it about the players. And he just told our guys what he saw. And to be honest, he's one of numerous coaches that have done that this year, which is an example of how truly special our group is and the way they play, the way they act, the way they carry themselves. Coach Barnes from Tennessee said almost an identical, he had an almost identical sentiment. He just didn't tell our team. He told our staff after the game something very similar. So once again, it's a tribute to who our guys are as people and as teammates, because like I said, that's happened several times this year.
Yeah, the fact that that's happened so many times really says so much about you and what you've built and that team and what those guys are like individually and collectively. You know, we're talking about this. So let me just ask you point blank. What do you like best about this group?
Their unselfishness and their work ethic. Those two things go hand in hand. I've never been around a group. I've been on the Division I staff for 20-plus years. I've never been around a group that the guys work with so much intention and so much effort almost every single day.
Dusty, what is that? I mean, did you recruit that? Did they kind of come to that conclusion and teach it to each other? How is that after 20 years you've never seen a group that gets it the way this group gets it?
It's funny to ask you. We were talking about last night. We're not sure if it's divine intervention or if it's just a group of like-minded people that were naturally attracted to each other. We liked them for whatever reason, and they liked us for whatever reason. And then you get together and things just really, really mesh and you cover for each other. We all have holes in our game. We all have holes in our personality. It just seems like this team, we all complement each other well and understand that we are all flawed, but we can pick up the slack for our teammates.
Dusty May is joining us. You know, it seems to me it's one thing that they all like each other and they like you and you like them. That's great, right? That's great. But it doesn't mean they like the process. It doesn't mean they like to grind. It doesn't mean they like to work hard every single day, all day. That's a different element altogether, right?
Absolutely. And I think probably the thing that separates these guys is their competitive spirit. They really, really want to win and they love to compete. So they're never scared of the moment. And if you love to compete and you love to win, then you're going to put in the work because you believe it's necessary to do the work in advance. So, like I said, all that stuff is rolled into one, but it's without a doubt the team character is our separator. It's not our individual talent. It's not our coaching. It's all of us together. And those are the things that have made us us.
Dusty May is joining us right now. I would imagine, given everything you just laid out, all the intangibles and all the integrity and as badly as they want it, I mean, it seems like this question doesn't really make sense, but I would imagine that when you consider what they've accomplished already, that is there a thing whereby you've got to remind them, hey, listen, this is absolutely incredible, the run of a lifetime, but there is still this amazing opportunity in front of us. You want to make sure you keep your foot on the gas. You want to make sure you block out all the noise and distractions. You want to maintain the integrity intensity necessary to meet this opportunity. Is this something that you've been talking to them about, or maybe you don't even need to at this point?
No, that's all we've been talking about, and we probably don't need to as much as we do, because once the ball's thrown up, they compete at such a high level. But we did feel like there's so many distractions now with tickets and people coming out of the woodwork that they haven't spoke to in a long time that want some of their attention or whatever it is that they want. And so we've just talked about whoever handles all the distractions leading up to the event is who's going to ultimately win the game. But I know for 40 minutes they're going to compete like crazy on Saturday, but we have addressed those issues because we need to make sure our preparation, our intensity, our focus every day up to that is on the same standards that they've worked with all season.
See, Dusty, I think so, because if you've not been through it before, you wouldn't know how to handle it before unless you've got this rare breed of character and focus. Like, that seems to me to be a real thing. Like, if you're in it every single year and you've got the veteran talent, but if they've never been through something like this before, how do they block all that out?
Well, Jim, during our 20-game winning streak, our staff would observe our guys closely and just to see if they would act differently, if they would prepare differently, or if they'd start feeling themselves and not putting in the same type of focus and intentionality that they had up to this point. And nothing changed except they worked a little bit harder, and they enjoyed it so much that they focused more in film, and they did extra reps in the weight room. So it's really rewarding when they respond to success even better than they respond to adversity. Because we knew this group last year, they responded to adversity. We just didn't handle success nearly as well. And so these guys have handled success for 5 months, and I can't see any way that changes this week, despite the extra attention.
Well, I appreciate that response. Dusty May joining us. You know, you mentioned that last year they didn't really necessarily handle the success as well as they could have. Look, you knew what you had coming back. You knew you had a really good team coming back. I'm curious, given what you accomplished in the regular season, given what you accomplished in the conference tournament, when the committee hit you with that ninth seed, Dusty, did you think they just don't know? They don't know how good we are? Or maybe for one split moment, did you think for yourself, you know what, we're a ninth seed, maybe we're not as good as I think we are?
No, I never thought that, Jim, just because of our body of work. I did think that it's really difficult to seed teams, and there's so many, the goalpost is always moving, because I thought Memphis was terribly underseeded as well. So just to be fair to us and to them, I thought both teams were extremely underseeded, but none of that matters because we can't control that. My first emotion was, I thought we were already in going into the conference tournament. And then after we beat Western Kentucky in the first round, I thought we're definitely in. And then obviously we win the next game versus a good Middle Tennessee State. And I'm thinking, all right, now it's house money. We can just focus on beating UAB. All the pressure's on them. We can just go out and hoop. Well, when that ninth seed came out, I was like, maybe I was a little bit off. We might not have been in if we didn't at least win a game or two in the conference tournament. So it might allow us to play a little bit looser, but I was probably much too confident in that situation in hindsight.
I think that's a wild story. Maybe it's a good thing we won that thing, or we won a couple of games. So, Dusty, what about San Diego State? Knowing you and the way you approach it and the way you coach, I know you respect the way they get after it, man. The way they get after it defensively, the way they hit the glass. I mean, they're like a throwback. They are old school. When you look at their film, what are the biggest challenges that you think they represent or present to you?
Well, you said old school. I would say they're old. They have a veteran group, and they're well schooled. They're disciplined. They're tough. They don't stray outside of what they do. They know who they are, and they're together and connected and bought into being physical, to play in every single possession. There's a reason they're still playing. It's because of their attention to detail and the way they play. They approach every single possession. They're going to challenge everything.
So, Dusty, I don't know if this is a thing or not. You tell me, but your team plays in a gym that's got a seating capacity of 2,900. As you know, and the Final Four is a totally different animal altogether when you go into a stadium like NRG. Then we're talking about, I mean, not only does it look different for shooters, but we're talking about maybe in excess of 71,000 people. How big of a challenge is that? And then how do you go about preparing your team for such a massive setting?
Well, fortunately, we'll get there a couple of days early, and we'll be able to shoot on the court in that backdrop and get used to it. But to be honest, Jim, our guys during COVID, they would go shoot at the park, and they would shoot on the outdoor courts because the gym was closed. They love basketball. They weren't going to not get their work in. So we talked about it, that it's probably a lot like shooting outdoors. You're going to have to probably focus on your eyes and what you're looking at a little more than usual. But It's the same advantage, disadvantage for every – San Diego State's got a bigger gym, but it's not a football stadium. So it's going to be different for everyone, but we've had the mindset all year that we're known as a three-point shooting team, but even if the shots don't go in, we're still going to be able to find a way to win, whether it's a wrestling match, a finesse, an up-and-down game, a ballet, whatever it is. We feel like because of our roster versatility, we can figure out a way to win.
Hey, listen, I know you're not there just to be there. You're not there just to participate. You're there to take over. Let me finally ask you this, Dusty. It's not about you. You're never going to make it about you. But clearly, you have worked your plan. You've planned your work. Was the original plan really, in fact, that you wanted to be a high school coach at Indiana and did not aspire to more than that? Looking at your drive and focus, it's a great story, but I find that kind of hard to believe. Is that really how that was?
100%. Never had any dreams and aspirations of anything other than that. I was sitting in a video room as a technically a junior, but a sophomore manager at Indiana, and one of the assistants asked me what I wanted to do, and I told him, and he said, college or high school? And I didn't know there really was an option for me. And at that day, I changed my major from education to history. I started driving the assistant coaches to recruiting trips. I started coaching AU basketball in the summer and started preparing for a different route. Prior to that, I was student teaching and observing in classrooms.
So what happened? Where was the seminal moment? Where was the fork in the road? You obviously always believed in yourself. How did you go from that guy to this guy?
There were a lot of forks in the road. I think a vast array of experiences. I go from Bobby Knight at Indiana to working for Henry Bibby in L.A. at USC on part of a great team. And so it's just all these different experiences and who you're around and who you gravitate to and learn from and all the great players and great coaches I was able to learn from, and they poured into me. I think it just becomes a cumulative effort, and you just continue to grow and grow and grow, and then find yourself in the right place at the right time. And I don't think it's any more than that. I'm not doing anything different than I did 20 years ago. I just feel like I've probably improved as a teacher and coach and communicator. But other than that, it's always been about the same thing, helping guys be the best they can be, enjoying it every day because we coach a child's game. And it's really nothing bigger than that to me. We're all grossly overpaid to do something we love to do.
Except for one thing, Dusty, probably you haven't taken a day off in those 20 years. One quick follow, because you and I talked about Bob Knight the last time he came on, but not Henry Bibby. What was that experience like? Henry Bibby, when he came here to L.A., he did a bang-up job. What was your time with him like, and what was your biggest takeaway from working with him?
Just the way he communicated. He was a pro coach. He was much calmer. We practiced long. Everything we did was polar opposite of Coach Knight. So it was exactly what I needed, because I thought Coach Knight, everything he said was the gospel. So it opened my eyes that there were other ways to do it. And probably because of our instant success, we went to the Elite Eight the first year, probably because of the rapid success, then I thought, okay, there are other ways to do this. And so it caused me to be more curious and try to improve and dive into different areas of teaching and coaching that I wasn't very good at that time.
Really interesting. He is the head coach of Florida Atlantic, his fifth year there. They had never won a tournament game prior to this year, and now they're on to the Final Four with a great, great matchup. Dusty, I appreciate you coming back on. Thanks for making time for us once again this week. Congratulations. It's been an amazing thing to see, and I know you're not done yet. Great to have you back.
Thank you, Jim. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Coach. Dusty May joining us. Incredible job he and they have done. Love it. Absolutely love it. I love that matchup. I love both the matchups.